Blog Talk Radio.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen, we are back, we are back, we are back. Welcome to another crazy edition of The Absolute Truth Show, right here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, for the most, the king of king himself. Damn, I'm so good. I am the Hot Rod. And on the phone line, I have the one, the only, the one who's tweeting a feud right now with Donald Trump over Iran, the one, the only.
It is Sean Black in the building once again.
And on the other line, I have the one who just woke up, so give us some time to recuperate because she had a long night of partying over the weekend. I have Tisha T in the house.
All right, I wasn't partying, but I did just wake up.
Good grief.
Well, thank you for joining us, I guess. Well, the number for the people that are awake right now is 347-989-8402. 347-989-8402. Are you ready to put some people or some guys? I can't even talk right now. I'm too busy laughing about Tisha.
So let me get this straight. Tisha is a zombie right now. You're sober and can't talk. So I guess I have to be the voice of reason. Yes, we're ready to piss people off.
Yes, in other words, you be the sensitive bitch that you always been. You know, you're welcome.
Oh, I don't call him that.
I may be sensitive, but I tell you what, I'm going to be correct on this one.
Oh, brother. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get this thing. I'm sorry. I'm losing my mind. I'm sorry. Okay.
Yeah.
Get together, Hot Rod. All right. Let me throw this out to Sean Black first. Yes, everyone knows that Sean Black and I, we're both wrestling fans, blah, blah, blah. But, Tisha, you might know this story a little bit. Hulk Hogan was suspended from the company WWE 4 years ago, recorded on a sex tape, you would say, for using the N-word. So, recently, Sean Black and some other guys via group text, they, you know, we'll talk about this topic, how Hulk Hogan is being reinstated back into the WWE and the Hall of Fame. I don't want to talk about the wrestling part, but for Tisha and Sean Black, if you knew a person that used the N-word, a white person that used the N-word, let's say a friend or a co-worker, do you see yourself forgiving that person for using the N-word after that person apologized to you for being upset? Let's start with Tisha first.
I don't even know which way to answer that because, in all honesty, I mean, okay, let's say you forgive them for using the N-word. They meant to use that N-word. So it's like, what are we really forgiving?
Mm-hmm.
They showed you who they are. They showed you their thoughts. It is what it is. That's not going to change.
True, but I brought that topic up because Sean and the other guys mentioned how Hulk Hogan was in a conference room with the other wrestlers. Talk about the situation, you know, basically asking for forgiveness. You know, he received his punishment. Basically, Kevin does move on, but can we move on from someone calling you the N-word? Or, I'm sorry, using a reference of the N-word overall?
Listen, if you meant to use the N-word, you meant to use the N-word. That's what it is. What it is. There's so many people in this world that uses that word, whether you're white, black, Asian, Latino, I don't know. They think it's okay. What's the meaning behind it to them?
That's true.
Be something different, but then again, we want to use it in a different term to take away the power from it. So what are we really getting upset about?
I think what I think people are trying to find out is it's been 3 years since Hogan used that N-word in that tape that was taken way out of where it was supposed to be. And we're not even getting into the legal ramifications of what happened, et cetera, et cetera. In the context of what you're saying right now, there are very few ways to take the statement of the N-word out of context in certain instances. We may know somebody in our life, maybe somebody that you know, or maybe somebody that I know, that may be a Caucasian that may use it, maybe from listening to a rap track. Maybe they're using it in a correct context that isn't offensive on just its surface. It's not being directed towards someone. But if you know that it's being used in a sentence, directed towards you or to somebody that you know of color that should be thoroughly offended, it can be very hard to forgive somebody for that. Now, as I said before, context is everything. We have to know what the context is. But on the surface, we all agree that the N-word is probably the most destructive word used in the English language that we can speak of right now that causes so much evil and consternation, et cetera, et cetera. If you're going to go ahead and use the N-word and you're going to use it in a way that you know is going to piss people off, it can be forgiven. It just depends on what we're forgiving and in what context.
Oh, okay. Like you guys have a mixed emotion, but I do agree. Is like you may forgive, but you will never forget overall.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
and you always talk about the old school people, how they talk a certain way. How, you know, old people are like our parents, our grandparents use the N word, and people use the N word to insult each other. So basically, if you're in a competition or argument, and you see it on video all the time, you know, especially with the hate that's going on. That is going on today, and some guy cursing you, well, hey, you're a cracker, and someone call you an N-word. Would that throw you off completely right now, or just get you more upset, or you try your best just to walk away? Tisha?
If you go, well, I'll throw it to Tisha first, go ahead.
Sorry, Rodney. Say that last part again.
Basically, if someone calls you the N-word right now, especially with everything that's going on, and you know you're well-educated, do you see
mm-hmm.
yourself walking away or fighting back?
I don't know. It depends on who it is. I mean, to me, it depends on what context they're going to even use it in. That's my whole point. It's like we want to say it this way, but when somebody says it that way, it's another thing. It's almost like I remember, like, let's say on the Jeffersons, George used to call every white person a honky. How about we go around just calling them honkies if they want to call us niggers? How would they feel?
Well, if we call someone a honky, that's an insult now. You know, back then it was an insult, but it was an insult in a funny type of way back in the 70s. You know, we laugh at those type of jokes. Honky, cracker, Ritz, you know, even the N-word, we laugh at that. Now it's a whole different concept and a whole different meaning.
I think a lot of the reason why a lot of people don't see that same correlation is because and Hot Rod, I remember we had this conversation like sometime last week. There aren't really many words in the English language that can thoroughly offend a white person in America. Now, there are racial epithets within common denominations and common races and creeds along those lines for Irish, for Asian, for Latino, for African Americans. We know of those epithets in general. But for somebody that is a considered white, very few words will get a rise out of somebody the same way the N-word will be towards any minority. And therein lies the problem of what is considered an insult, insulting, and something on some sort of even keel, if you could even think that. And that's probably why it's so difficult to try to make a correlation between is it the same as using those words that you describe for a white person as opposed to what we've heard the N-word being used as, and as Tisha just stated as well, and we've all talked about before, it's all about context. And if the word is just being used as blanketed, being shouted out for no apparent reason, outside of it being noise, it's not going to offend as much as if you took that word and used it in direction towards another person.
Okay. We have another caller. Caller, you on the air?
Hi, my name's Joe. I was here last week.
Joe from Montana.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
How are you guys?
All right. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks. I took a look at your description page, and you have there that the owners of the MGM, is it MGM? MGM Casino.
Yeah, MGM, yes.
They're suing the victims, the people who got shot.
Yes.
Sure, Sean. Sean, we'll get into that right now. Go ahead, Sean. Let's start it off right away.
Okay. That
will be another 20 minutes. Go ahead, Sean.
I'll be as concise as I can. Basically, last week we found out that there is a little-known law in the books that was passed in 2002, which was passed shortly after 9/11, and it's supposed to be a liability protection for any company that uses anti-terrorism technology to help protect other people, so that in case something happens in that property, that the victims cannot necessarily sue. So instead of being held liable, the MGM Grand Resort, which we all know back in October with that horrid mass shooting that happened, is the biggest in U.S. history reported as far as the amount of as many deaths that happened on that property. MGM is going the route of suing the victims. And the victims, we're talking about not only the dead, but the people that were injured, that were shot, and this is well over 1,000 victims. And the lawsuit is supposed to go on, I believe, on trial October the 1st. So this is where they're going to try and get this liability thing out there so that they cannot be held culpable for what happened on their property. That is what most people look at as absolutely reprehensible. I think you might have I don't know how you feel, Hot Rod, as far as what you think the MGM is doing. Do you believe that they're doing this just to save their own hide? And if they are, do you think that it's correct for them to do, or is this the wrong route to go?
Absolutely, yes. I don't want to say the best thing to do, but it's the right thing to do to save their business, is no matter what. No matter what happened, yes, it was wrong. But you do what you need to do to save your business. And I know, Sean Black, I told you that last week. But before I go into that, I want to get an outsider's take on this. Joe from Montana, what do you think about it? Do you think this was the right thing to do for MGM? Or are you on the side of the victims? They should sue the hotel to get some type of compensation or some type of money or settlement.
Well, I don't know if they should sue the hotel. I don't know the circumstances upon which their case is predicated, but if it's just because the MGM has deep pockets, and I say those who are suing just for the purpose of getting money out of those deep pockets, they're parasites. I have no sympathy for them. So if I were a member of the MGM board of directors, and as Joe was saying, if there's over 1,000 people who are injured, what they're doing is hitting first before they get hit. And just on a preliminary basis, just because I just found out about it from you guys, I kind of surprised myself in saying, yeah, I think the MGM is probably doing the right thing in order to save their particular business, because I'm sure that out of 1,000 people, all you need is one or two to win a huge multi-million-dollar case, and there go their profits. Ostensibly because of something which they had no responsibility for. So even though this seems drastic, just on what I've heard right now, I would say the MGM is probably in the right.
But, of course, before I get to UK, dog, I'm sure Sean Black has something different to say.
The first thing that comes to mind when I hear about this is... the victims are being re-victimized all over again. You're telling people in general, even if they may have this obscure law on the books to help them out, that because of the fact that I'm pretty sure as a casino and resort, they have liability protection in place to some degree. Knowing that somebody was on their property with, I don't know how many guns, and killed as many people as they did, and were able to do what he was able to do, those victims now have to be re-victimized through the media, through the courts. You're sending lawsuits to the shooting victims, a lot of them who have not still yet recovered, and we're almost a year after the shootings, to basically say, we're going to save our hides and our bottom line. Screw you, as a big middle finger to those victims involved. Now, we've heard of many people, I guess because of what happened in 9/11, we know the thousands of people that were killed between Pittsburgh and New York and then the Pentagon in D.C. A lot of those families still have things wrapped up in litigation. So I guess this is to protect the business. As far as those victims go, if they were able to go the class action lawsuit route, I don't know how successful that would be. But I'll guarantee you that if they're doing this to save their own hide, I can imagine the backlash in general, how this is going to be a completely double-edged sword. And here's why. Because if you're going to go and sue the victims of the crime, not the ones that, Joe, I know that you stated, if these are people that are like sycophants trying to just get a quick buck, those people should be thrown to the side. But the ones that have scars, people that have died, family members that were shot, maimed, crippled, etc., because of this, they're going to lose long-term profits anyway, because they're going to be looked at as a cold, callous business that has one interest in mind, and that is making sure that their bottom line is taken care of and not the victims of the shooting in general. And that's going to come back and bite them in the rear in the long term.
I disagree, but let me give it to K-Dog first. Go ahead, K-Dog.
Hey, what's up, everybody? How y'all doing?
Hey.
So, what's going on?
Well, what I got to say is this one is that you got to – I'm listening to what everybody says, and my personal opinion about this whole thing is that, you know, you got to look at it in a business perspective. You understand that MGM – has to really save the, I mean, okay, yes, the victims were hurt, but was it the hotel's fault that this happened? No, it was an actual shooter who shot up the whole concert. But at the same time, MGM is trying to has to save their business, because you know what? When that happened, you know, it hurt their business in a way. You understand what I'm saying? So with that being said, MGM is just trying. MGM has to do what they have to do to save their business. Suing the victim, you know, you have to take drastic measures when you're saving your business. That's what I got to say about it.
So I'll throw this question in for the rest of you guys to answer.
Oh, hold on. Let me get Tisha's first. Then you go ask. Sorry,
okay.
Tisha.
One thing about business people are not thinking about victims. They're not thinking about emotions. They're thinking about money and how to keep their business running. So please don't think that, oh, MGM, even if they do this and they are successful with it, they're going to lose money, because people are still going to keep coming back to their business. That's how I feel as far as that goes. So they won't be losing money and things like that. They will be very much okay whether it works out for them or not.
Okay, Sean, ask your question, then I go to Brother B. Matter of fact, Brother B's on the line.
Brother B.
Yo. What up?
Okay, so Sean, ask your question, then Brother B will answer it.
Okay. The question that I will ask is that we
the
know
egg
that
came
the,
before
we,
the chicken.
Yeah.
The egg came before the chicken.
We know the actual, if we're not going to say that they are, it was not their, quote unquote, their fault. But I think a lot of people would probably go on to say that if you're running a casino in Vegas, the first thing you would think of is better security systems, better security, more police. If you're going to be running a business that has all these people involved that are going to be going in and out of the place, maybe the security measures weren't up to snuff. If one person could basically pick and choose where to go, how to hide the guns, where to go, what floor, what perch, etc., if the people that are supposed to be involved with this are the best of the best, wouldn't you think that that should be on the casino to know, basically to outthink the criminal elements if that's going to be the case.
Okay. Real quick, though, before I answer. So MGM is suing the victims for what?
They're suing the victims so that they can basically not be held liable for the fact that those victims were shot and killed on MGM's dollar.
Perfect.
There's a law
okay.
in the books that was passed in 2002 that kind of piggybacked off of what happened during 9/11. That is supposed to help, it's liability protection to help companies that have anti-terrorist technology to help protect other people, to limit the amount of victims suing that company in case something happens so that the business is not held liable for anything that happens afterwards.
Keyword, terrorist, right? Any, like, terrorist incidents?
Mm-hmm.
See, that's the key word. I've been doing security for about almost 26 years.
Wow, but how can that be? You're only 21 years old.
Listen, man, I wish I was feeling 21 right now, but MGM can't, casinos prepare for robberies in certain things.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't really prepared for something of that magnitude. Anybody can scope out, plan, plot, whatever situation. This guy took guns upstairs and started shooting from his hotel room. No one was prepared for that. That's not something that was just like, oh, well, people randomly do that all the time. That's something that you've seen in, like, Die Hard when the Nakatomi building, they were shooting out the damn window. You don't see that. You don't really catch that in real life. This guy did some movie stuff. MGM wasn't prepared for that. No one was prepared for that. I mean,
I don't think anybody was.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
MGM suing the victim, very stupid. Business-wise, very stupid. If you want to help your business flourish, if you want to look good and keep your name, what you should do is set up something and work with the victims. Try to, help people. Because, see, you're going to spend more money in litigation instead of in trying to sue people or court instead of actually setting up some type of fund or foundation to help people out,
mm-hmm.
to encourage
maybe
certain things. And it makes you look good. And people will be like, hey, well, MGM really cares about us.
Oh,
MGM really cares about
us. I think
at the same time. Go ahead, Joe. Yeah, I'll take over.
Oh, okay. I think what you're saying actually makes sense, and who knows? I think MGM probably is in the process of doing it if they haven't already started to do it on a small measure. Somebody asked a question, which is a good one. What are they suing the victims for? Now, Sean, you were describing the 2002 law, but what I think the caller was saying was, on what charge are they...
Yeah, that's why I had asked. Yeah, what are they suing
the
victims for?
Are they accusing the victims of doing?
That's the question that everyone has to ask.
But
yeah.
See, now you just pissed the victims off. So now they're going to come at you. You make yourself a target now for going after the victims to try and kind of block whatever they think that it may be coming down the pipeline. It's a bad business move.
And that's the reason why I think that a class action lawsuit down the road on some level will happen where you're going to pull the victims. Can you imagine what would happen if all of the victims got the right lawyers into a giant pool and decided to sue the MGM over as a countersuit?
It would be a big lawsuit.
Hold on. Nothing's going to happen because it will be a settlement overall. But let's be honest, that's how the court system works. It will be a settlement. But at the same time,
I'm gonna flip it for you. What was this? A country? This is a country music event.
Yes.
Yeah, it was.
Let me put my business face on. MGM is attacking the heartland values of this country. Country Western music, and you want to sue country western people? Listen, you know how many country western artists will probably get involved in stuff like this? This was their situation there, so they can take this as a personal attack. It can be flipped. It can definitely
be worked. It can.
Absolutely.
It would be a long fight. it'll be a long fight in the long term. Is no matter what, no one will. There's a no-win situation.
I just want to know what they're suing the victims for. What's their charge? How can you sue a victim?
What is the charge? That's what everyone's asking.
Because we live in a society where the victim is now the criminal.
The victims are the ones who were shot.
Some of them are in the hospital.
Some of them are currently in the hospital, still recovering from their wounds.
But like Tisha said, this is a business. You do what you can to protect your business.
It's in the interest of business because, you know what? Let me tell you something. When it comes to businesses, they got to save themselves. They're not looking out for anybody.
Suing the victims for? Another thing, too, MGM, the casinos out in Vegas, their lifeblood is good advertising, good marketing, a good image. So for them to sue the victims, as somebody else was saying, now I'm all for MGM suing the victims on a right basis, but if you're just going to sue the victims just to save yourself from a lawsuit, you are gonna build up animosity, especially in Nashville.
Plenty of animosity.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, listen, these country folk will flip it, and I'll put on some boots and be right along with them.
You don't think Charlie Daniels and the rest of the superstars from Nashville?
They're watching.
Well, yeah, you don't think they'll put on some benefits?
Oh, they're gonna jump in.
They will shut MGM down.
And they're going to lose bigger money in the long run because the people that see what happened are going to wonder, what if this happens again? What happens if I go ahead and go to the MGM and something worse happens? And as we said it before, the wording, anti-terrorist technology, which is to protect people from a terrorist attack. And if you notice, when we listen to the shooting, not one person that reported it called it Homeland Terror. They called it some crazy guy. They called it some American that lost his mind. They didn't call it terrorism.
But Sean Black, so what that means about the Pulse nightclub that happened in Orlando, the shooting over there, should people start suing the nightclub for that? They had an armed guard at the door, but the guy had a gun, so got in. What about the deadly shooting that happened in Canada?
Well, see, you know what the problem is.
Yeah,
you don't have that. You don't have the venue.
You don't have the venue suing
the victims. That's the difference. The victims are not being sued by the venue. That's the difference between the shooting in Orlando, the shooting in the Toronto, what happened there, and this. You have 1,000 victims being sued by a venue that had one of the worst shootings around that you're going to sue them. How is that going to look? Not only in their business, in the long run, it's horrible PR.
It is horrible PR.
You're breaking up.
Hold on, Tisha. We can't hear you.
Can you guys hear me?
Oh, now I can.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I hear you breaking up.
Oh, okay. I was listening to you guys talking about it and everything, and I'm only mistaken. MGM is doing this also to pay attention to themselves. They fear the retaliation.
Still going in and out.
I think you're breaking up again.
Yeah.
You're breaking up, man. Oh, well, okay. All right, so I'll give it to Joe. Go ahead, Joe.
I'm going to introduce a little situation here. I'm the judge, all right? Now, the lawsuit has come to trial, and I'm asking the defendants, who are going to be MGM, all right, gentlemen, what is your case? Why are you suing the victim? What are the defense lawyers now going to say to me?
Go ahead, Brother B.
Sometimes you feel like a nut, sometimes you don't. Like, to be honest with you, there's nothing that can be said. Listen, you're going to find, in a situation like that, like you said, you're the judge, they're going to find the right judge with the right way of thinking you're going to shit all over MGM. Because how insulting is it for you to want to bring a lawsuit against the victim, the people who were just standing there dancing, having a good time, and then they were basically caught out there in a hail of bullets. What did they do?
All right. Okay, I have Tisha back on now. Tisha, are you there?
Yeah, tell me if you guys can hear me clearly.
Oh, yeah, we can hear you clearly.
Okay. No, I was just saying, am I the only person that's listening to everybody's opinion and thinking, or maybe MGM wants this attention brought to themselves, and they are ready for retaliation as far as business-wise?
Thank you very much. I agree with Tisha. Okay. Very rare, I agree with Tisha. So mark that down on the calendar.
Wow.
It's a bad
look,
though.
I'm seeing
something. It's a bad
book.
Guess what? Guess what? But hold on. Before you guys say something, there's no such thing, even though it's all messed up, I'm not disagreeing with that. There's no such thing as bad publicity. Whether it's good news or bad news, in the end, the only way MJ could really go out of business is people stop going there, which, like Tisha said, it's not. People will still go there. You think after the shooting, people will stop going there being afraid? No. They're probably making more money now due to the shooting. Like, oh, this is where the guy, this is the room where the guy shot from. Because people, like Brother B always tell us, society and priorities are always messed up overall. We can never get our stuff together, and that's why we have a problem today.
But
well,
I just,
you have, also
I just found
shortly
something.
After that, though?
Oh, hold
shortly,
on, hold on. Sean Blackford.
Shortly after the shooting happened, what did we hear from the people that has residencies there, like Celine Dion and Trace Atkins and all the country singers and people that perform there? They basically stated, we don't want this to end you coming to MGM. They got positive
continue
publicity
coming.
Because people were afraid to go there. They will say, you know what, don't stop coming. We want you to be here. We want you to participate, spend your money here, because we want you to feel as normal as possible. That was before the actual venue decided to say, you know what, how dare you get shot and die on our property. And if you even attempt to go ahead and sue us, we're suing you beforehand. We're taking a preemptive strike on that. And that's what this basically turns into.
No.
And even though I understand your
on.
Point, Hot Rod, on the whole premise of that trying to save their business and trying to make sure that they can stay liquid as far as having their money involved, the problem is, in the long run, we've actually seen casinos go out of business, like what's happened in Atlantic City, but we know why that happened. But it
okay.
could
See, but
easily
no, I'm sorry.
Happen.
I have to stop you there. I'm sorry, Sean Black. What happened in Atlantic City is completely different with Vegas. Atlantic City is corrupted, and they have government officials who screw up Atlantic City. That's
and
way
Vegas
different from
yeah, but
all?
I just found something
is
online which gives us the answer to this.
Go ahead.
All right.
I was wondering about something. There's the missing link here. They're suing people who are for, who have first sued them. So they're
Thank
not
you.
Just being preemptive.
Thank you.
Okay,
it's
now that makes sense.
It's a
that makes sense
lawsuit.
To me. Yeah, it's
a
counter.
It is.
It's a countermeasure.
Lawsuit.
This isn't a preemptive.
It, listen, both, it's going on in both parties. That basically, that's what's
and
going
I guess,
on.
And I guarantee you guys, there's one or two people who's doing it a lawsuit out of fraud. Same way they did at 9/11. People always try to find ways
yeah,
to buy quick money.
Okay, I'm glad you pointed that out, Hot Rod, because you know what? Let me tell you something. With fraud, you know, whenever there's something that goes on, whenever there's a shooting or any kind, type of disaster, you're going to find people that are commit fraudulent acts. They're going to say, oh, I was there and stuff like that, and that's a big lie. You weren't there. You weren't even in the area when the incident took place, and you want a piece of the pie. You're not going to get me. That's the problem that goes on with that.
You
got to do a thorough
investigation. You know what, you know what one of the real problems is that we have a mainstream media that doesn't give all of the facts.
Yes,
of course.
Yeah.
Well, that's
you know? This
can
also be an insurance thing.
It could be, but if you take a look online like I am, you're taking a look at stories
and come
which
back,
don't
and come back and build better.
Hey, I'm sure.
Dissolve the
I'm
business,
sure,
come back and build better.
But I'm sure. Bottom line, MGA has a plan, and they should have a plan.
Of course,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, sorry, Sean. I totally disagree. MGA is doing the right thing to protect his business. And at the same time, you're trying to save thousands of jobs out there of people who depend on the casino. You know,
yeah,
family
no
lifestyles.
Idea.
You know, I guess MGA should set up a funding for the victims or something like that or pay for funerals, whatever. But guess what? Maybe they did that. It was not covered by the media. But bottom line, you need to protect your land. Imagine your house, Sean. You need to protect your house at all costs, whether people think it's right or wrong. That's just my opinion.
You know something
I mean,
else? There were 22.
So, Mr. Joe, real quick. Mm-hmm. So you said that they're suing, MGM is suing the victims who were suing. What? Now, that's the thing. Were they really victims?
That's a good question.
Before?
That's
yeah,
a good question.
Really,
and I was going to say this because I'm taking a look at it now. There were 22,000 concert goers who were there. That means if they don't sue these people, or in some way, if the MGM is now considered not only liable but very vulnerable in the future for future nuisance lawsuits, take a look at 22,000. The remainder of the 22,000 are going to sue MGM and will set a precedent for suing other casinos or any other venues who happen to be a victim of a mass shooting. And I think that MGM, based on what I'm reading here, and again, the MSM, the mainstream media, they really don't come across as those who really give you the entire fact.
Well, that's not what it's about. Giving you the facts is, you know what I'm saying, that means that you may form a logical opinion that
yeah.
kind of fits what you want to
yeah.
see, not what really is.
All right, but I'd like to go to another topic, which I got this from Brother B from last night. Thank you so much, Brother B. But I will send this out to Tisha first, because she's a mother of a lovely daughter. Tisha, in Canada, they have a superintendent who started a new type of program or class of basically teaching kids white privilege and racism. We all know the story about racism and white privilege and all that stuff. And let's be honest, it was not taught in elementary school. Tisha, do you think today kids should be taught about white privilege and racism in schools today?
Why
not?
I'm talking about elementary school. I mean, in elementary
school,
we were taught about slavery and stuff. So why not?
But a lot of people have a problem with that because, you know, who are they to talk about white privilege, especially when white people don't know what white privilege is about?
All right, but who are they to talk about that when that is the reality of the world that we're living in at this time? So I think it's great awareness. It's no different than when we had to teach our children about slavery and racism in our communities. White privilege also goes on within our communities.
But do you find it funny that some white people don't see that they have white privilege?
No, that's a dumb problem. I don't know.
I can't.
So go ahead.
Oh my
brother goodness. B, you brought this up. You brought it up.
No, how did I bring it up? It wasn't.
Yeah,
that's what
I'm
doing.
Yeah, I
don't
mind.
Don't throw me under
crazy.
The track.
I don't mind.
Brother,
chiming
in brother,
on
can we
like
get
this.
Brother B opinion on this?
No, listen,
Brother B,
folks,
I don't.
You posted this on social media. You posted this on social media.
I don't believe in, you know what, to a degree, I really don't believe in white privilege. You know what, I think
really?
The white people, listen, I believe the Caucasians out there that believe in white privilege just believe that that's them. But growing up, having all different types of friends of different backgrounds, nobody was looking at white privilege. Nobody, listen, this is something, stop making up stuff, man. Stop making up stuff. It's either Heinz ketchup or a store bought. Don't come and introduce something new into the mix. Everybody wants to label something and just like, oh, this is the new fad. Just like, oh, we're going to label transgender. We're going to label this. We're going to label. Everything has to have a label, and then people want to conform to the label. Stop it. Like, white, there's no white privilege. I don't, I've never had those issues with anybody white. I've never had it. I'm 44 years old. I think people make their own issues out of their own heads sometimes. Now, don't get me wrong. We turn on the TV, and sometimes things just look a certain way because it's all about selling your eye, selling the vision. But listen, 9 times out of 10, either the person that's doing wrong is doing wrong, or the person that's getting done wrong to them may have done something to put themselves in that situation. I'm not blaming the victim, but then again, sometimes you got to really look at it. Who's the victim and who's the perp? And that's the reality of it.
I got a quick question for y'all. Is our president an example of white privilege?
Hell no. Listen, I'm not going to bat for him, but where did he ever say that he was a racist?
No, I didn't say racist.
No, I'm saying
white privilege.
No, he's not.
He's a person that is in the right place at the right time. He said the right things. He's a businessman. He's a con artist. He said the right things at the right time. Hey, listen, I know you like the store. You know, I know you like mayonnaise. Don't buy this mayonnaise because the store label sucks. It's something different about Hellman's, where it's more creamier and it's rich, and this and it tastes better with your potato salad. And that he sold it, and everybody went for it.
But Brother B, before I go,
hold
on 1 second. Before I go to you, Joe. Yeah. But Brother B, do you think for what Obama have done compared to Donald Trump have done, if like we always said, if Obama has said or done some of the things that Donald Trump done right now, Obama would have been impeached already. Do you think that's not an example of white privilege?
That's not white privilege. That's people standing up for the person. That's people standing up for their leader. That's not white privilege. That's people standing up for the person that's putting the battery in their back and like, yeah, he's fighting for us. He's talking what we want to hear, so we're going to back him, and we're not going to turn our backs. They're not being crabs in a barrel, something that we as black people don't know anything about. They're not being crabs in a barrel.
Give it to Joe, then to Sean Black.
All right.
All right. Now, Trump, yeah, he may not be a racist, but how many presidents have not been racist, including John F. Kennedy? Okay, and in terms of, you just finished saying that if Obama had done the things that Trump had done, nobody would have said anything. Well, no, you said there would have been a real uproar. The conservatives would have said that nothing would have been said by the mainstream media except in minimal terms about Obama. And I happen to believe that's probably the case. There would have been conservatives who would have been in an outrage, but the mainstream media would have kind of tempered whatever Obama would have done if he had done the same things as Trump. Now, in terms of Trump displaying white privilege, I don't think you want to have that kind of white privilege or black privilege, because if you take a look at the way that guy has been insulted every day, even as a candidate for the presidency, if you took a look at the posters and the headlines and the covers of magazines, how they depicted him as a clown, as somebody with horns, as an idiot, as a moron, as somebody who's going to put the country into into Twilight Zone. I don't think you want that kind of criticism. For me, it's amazing to me that this kind of guy, and I didn't vote for him, but I'm going to vote for him next time if he runs again. But for this guy to still be in favor of his ideology, which is for making America great again, and still get all the types of criticism, like on the Matthew Show, Rachel Maddow. What's that guy's name? Kimmel. All the comedians, everybody in mainstream media and talk shows are against him, and he's still trying to be the best president that he can be. I happen to be a Trump supporter, but if you're going to ask me, is he racist? I would say, possibly. But
Sean,
he'll let you. If he's a racist, he'll let you tell it. He won't say it himself.
He won't say it. Yeah, I agree with that, boss.
So
I'm
going to say it because you know why? He won't say it to save himself, because you know what? If he was to come out and proclaim racism, and that's the thing, if you're gonna be a racist, and racist people, they're very bold with their language. They're gonna come out in your face and tell you what they really think of you.
But it's not good for business.
Okay, Sean Black.
Business, you know,
most racists will never claim that they are racist, because the reason is because they don't think they are racist. They just feel, especially now in the way that everything is being portrayed by a lot of people, if you are racist, there are going to be racist tendencies involved that people are going to maybe latch on to. But I'll give you this. I understand where Brother B is coming from his explanation, but I'm going to actually disagree with what he's saying from this standpoint. White privilege, from what I've seen, it actually affords somebody in Trump's position to have the views that he has and be able to get still voted on because of it. When you look at the fact that 18% of the population in the United States are African American or identify as a minority,
mm-hmm.
almost all of that particular percentage was insulted by President Trump in this sense. We already know about what he said about Hispanics. We already know what he says about immigrants. We already know what his views are about women. So in that sense, he has offended many other people. The issue with the white privilege part comes in is that it is portrayed by a lot of racists, misogynists, et cetera, that if you have those views, if you are of a position where you have no power, or if you are a minority, you cannot expound on those particular views and go anywhere in society. I'll give you another perfect example. There was a politician just recently last month who is a Republican, I can't remember his name offhand, that is running for Congress in Charlottesville, Virginia, who is a pedophile and had
yeah.
a website where
uh-huh.
he put pedophilic activity and stuff on there
yeah.
and actually talked about through the Huffington Post certain things that came up about pedophilia and his ideas behind it. And he was going to run for Congress. If there was anybody who was a minority or anybody else that had that thought process who was maybe Asian, who might have
mm-hmm.
been African American, who might have been Iranian American or any other minority in this country that even joked about having those kinds of views, that person would probably have been excoriated by now. But the difference is, in the eyes of a lot of people, because of the white privilege card that we have been talking about, that person actually has a platform to speak those kinds of views and maybe not get anywhere near the negative publicity that you would have thought if this person was a minority. And I think a lot of people are maybe confusing the fact of white privilege and what white privilege does in the eyes of people that don't agree with it to the people that are offended and are put down by people that have that kind of power to wield.
You know what? You know what? Real quick, I agree with what you're saying, Sean. Like, I respect your views.
I agree too, 100%.
But you know what? I think it's more of a do as I say, and not as I do. See, when you've been in a controlling situation for so long, when you've been controlling the narrative for so long, there's certain things that I can do or I can say that you just are not going to say because I control the narrative. So who are you to talk about what I'm talking about? I didn't invite you into this circle. I didn't invite you onto this platform to say anything along the lines of what I'm saying or what I'm doing. It boils down to me, it just looks like a control for do as I say and not as I do. And like I said, they've been in the position in controlling the narrative for centuries. So why
okay.
would that mind state change now? That's
that
why
right.
it's about
the definition of privilege. That
how could it be privilege if it's something that has been them since they got here?
And
okay,
that is that's the
can I give
process.
A scenario real
yeah,
quick
yeah,
on,
sure.
on
right
what
on that,
everybody
said?
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's talk about police shootings then in certain communities. Why is it okay
mm-hmm.
when, let's say, a white man could put his hand up and he'll just get the cuffs put on him, but a black man, you have to fight him down or you may have to shoot him? Talk to me about white privilege when it comes to that.
That's not white privilege. That's not white privilege. That's eliminating the threat.
Well,
that's somebody.
Of course,
that's
know.
Somebody. Wait. That's somebody that's scared. First
yeah.
of all, don't. We can't take it to the badge. You have to put it on the individual. The individual at that time who is scared. See, not everybody is built for the badge. Let's get that straight. Not everybody's
uh-huh.
built to go out there and do that job, to carry that gun and go out there and find trouble. Some people are just not built like that. And I think 9 times out of 10, most of these cops, these people out there who have the job as cops, are not built for it.
No, they're not.
K-Dog? K-Dog? No, I have to get the K-Dog. K-Dog?
Okay, and this is the common thing that's going on, especially when it comes to police shooting involving black people. We constantly hear the same scenario over and over again. Oh, the person leaps, or the person, it's like a fear. A fear comes on. And of course, you're quick to pull out, you're trigger happy, and you're quick to pull out your gun and shoot, but yet, in that moment, you're not thinking. You're not thinking when you pull out your gun and shoot.
Yes, you are.
Listen, I think you guys are being too kind.
Real quick. I'm not a cop. But I carry a firearm for a living. Living two jobs. I'm going home at the end of the night. I'm going to take care of my daughter. I don't care what anybody says. You put a situation in my face where I'm threatened, and the thing I'm thinking about is getting home to my daughter. I'm going home. I'll do the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
I'd rather be judged by 12 than carry by 6.
Well, remind me, brother, be not to hang out with you anymore. But go ahead. Yeah, I'm the
man.
Go ahead.
There'll be a lawsuit.
You know, exactly.
Well, I'm a sue Hot Rod for hanging out with me. I'm a sue Hot Rod for hanging out.
Yeah, Hot Rod.
I'm just looking for a drinking partner. That's all.
That's it. But Joe. Last, what else do you need to say before I go into the last topic?
Oh, I was going to say that cops are not built to carry the bag. That's because most of them are downright stupid. And I'm not saying that to be hyperbolic. I'm saying that as a matter of fact. When you take a look at the history of cops, now if you take a look at the town on the East Coast, New York City, a few years ago, there was a guy there who was in charge of the police force. I think it was the chief. Yeah, he was the chief. Forgot his name now. But what he had done, he had instructed his human resources woman. She was the head of human resources. He had told her to make the test for the applicants to get inside the academy a little bit easier. She tells him, if I make it any easier, you're going to be hiring, what does she call them?
Idiots?
Imbeciles, I think it was. Imbeciles. Imbeciles, idiots. Dumb, imbeciles. He ordered her to do it anyway. She didn't want to. She got fired. Then she sued the police force, and this all came out in court.
Mm-hmm.
The average IQ of a cop is like 108. I think that's something like 8 points above average, if that's even average. So you've got people in the they're nothing more than dishwashers with guns. They don't have brains for the most part. And think about what is it that a cop actually does. He gets there after the incident has happened. He outlines the incident with tape, and then he waits for the detectives. So what does a cop do?
The whole cop thing is more about brute force than about paperwork.
Yeah.
Some
because
of them are not built. They don't have
they
the minds for the paperwork,
make,
but they'll pull the gun.
They use that brute force. That's how they feel that they're stronger. That's how they feel that they're enforcing the law when they use that brute force. When they'll grab someone or throw them down to the ground, beat the living daylights out of them or shoot them.
Well, listen, we grew up off a culture about cowboys and Indians. So a lot of these kids grow up and they want to be the cowboy.
But Tisha brought up a good point, too, about, you know, people getting shot in the back. Now, there's no excuse for that. But then somebody can come along on the other side. And as many blacks have been shot by cops, more whites have been shot by cops than blacks.
True. That's true, too. You know, yeah. But everything is always about the mainstream media is what you see and listen.
Yeah.
And that's what people get brainwashed by that.
Yeah.
But this last thing I want to throw to Tisha again, going back to last week's topic. Once again, Tisha, as a woman, why do most females, when they have a boyfriend or in a good relationship, they always complain that they cannot find someone, but when they find a nice guy, they turn the nice guy away.
Tisha!
Throw her under the bus, Jack.
Yeah, no pressure, Tisha. No pressure.
I feel like I'm outnumbered here right now.
Just answer the question.
I mean, I don't really know the answer to the question.
Yes, you
but,
do.
Seriously, I think I'm just thinking about something because I think a lot of women, you do get that good guy, and then you don't know how to treat them. And guys like they ego stroked. Can all of you guys on the panel agree with that?
Yes, I agree
to some degree. Yeah,
I just like my beer cold. I don't have really an ego to stroke. I just like my beer cold. That's all.
You know, it comes down to communication. Communication, though. You need to tell me what you want and what you need, and vice versa.
Yeah, yeah, but there've been sometimes I hear females that complain to others. Oh, I can never find a man. I never can find a good man. And you see them with that good man who's willing to take care of her, do anything for her, and they get scared and they run the guy away. But then again, you go back complaining, you cannot find a good man. I'm like,
yeah, but
why are they
getting scared and running the guy away? Are they scared of happiness? Is this something dealing with them? They don't feel like they meet the guy's standards. Like, what is it? It's at that point, it has to be on the female. That's a personal problem with her.
That's what I'm asking you. You know females that are like that. So you should know from your experience. I'm not talking about you, but from your female friends who've been in that situation. Go ahead.
I got a theory on that. Why do women not appreciate the good guys? Or why do they drive them more? Firstly, when they get involved with the bad boys, if they get beat up or rejected by the bad boys, the women become victims. And that's their stock in trade. I picked the wrong man, but and then guys and everybody else, oh, you poor baby.
Oh, Joe.
And then,
but guess what?
No,
guess
you
what?
Know that's the truth.
But guess what? Let me add
and then,
to it.
Then the
let
guys circle the
it.
Wagons and everything. But if a girl rejects
let me add
the,
to this.
But if the girl rejects the good guy, right? I mean, if the guy rejects the good guy rejects her, as opposed to the bad boy rejecting her, and everybody knows he's a good guy, she can't escape that. Because there had to have been something wrong with her.
Yeah.
She can't claim the victim now.
Yep.
Yeah.
And you know what else too?
Ahead,
if the guy's good to them, it's like, oh, he's too nice. But yet, when a guy's being nasty to them, oh my goodness, I can't believe he's saying that to me. I'm like, well, isn't that what you want?
I think deep down, no matter how strong a woman is or how independent they have become, based on past relationships, habits, how they were raised, I think every woman that finds a quote-unquote good man is always waiting for the other shoe to drop. Why?
Exactly.
Because
nine times out of ten,
this, at some point in that person's life, the other shoe has dropped. The problem is it a preemptive strike? Is that person waiting for the other shoe to drop and is ready to cut bait before it happens to them and are willing to just distance themselves away and put up obstacles and force fields and shields and they try to distance themselves from potentially getting hurt? And I think that's
Tisha,
what a lot of women
I can answer that.
Okay,
so
go ahead,
Sean,
Tisha,
that real quick. That's due to the fact that men have a bad reputation. You guys are labeled as cheaters. Every guy cheats and so forth. So we're going to always have our guard. Now, question, when you guys get the loyal woman that doesn't want much, that can do for herself and can you, why do you guys mess that up for the side piece that's only going to be there for a while, maybe stroke your ego, but she's not going to change? It depends. What's up with that?
I'm still looking for it.
It's
French fries.
It's French fries. Yep.
That's all it is.
It'll never
beat the burger.
Notice
you always finish your burger,
but
you don't always finish your fries.
They gotta have a side dish. That's the problem.
It's not always the key. Sometimes you just make. Listen, not everybody make good fries.
Leticia, I have one.
You're gonna eat that burger.
Leticia, one more question. Do you love me? Are you lying? So you'll never ever leave me, Tisha?
Oh my
goodness!
Okay, Kiki. Okay.
You know what? I kind of have to compare it to this. How is it that women can go in the mall and be in there for hours, but a man can go in there, get one thing, and leave?
Because
that's
bottom
what
line,
I compare, that's
females,
what I, that's what I compare it to. Sometimes it comes
females
down to
never
the
know
of,
what they really want.
Exactly.
Never know what they really want.
That's why I never go shopping with
There's a saying from a song that says, a woman is a creature that has always been strange. But when you find she's gone to make a change. That's an old
okay,
song.
Okay,
was that your rap?
Thank you.
Nah, man.
Okay, dog. It's your birthday.
Okay. Montana, Joe from Montana, Brother B, Tisha, Karaoke K-Dog, and Sean Black. That's another great show. Tune in next week to Blog Talk Radio, The Absolute Truth. Guys, thank you so much. God bless. Till next time.
Good night,
thank you. Have a good night,
guys.
Bye-bye. Peace out.
The pleasure was all yours.
Good night, guys.
Good night, everybody.
Night.